All right, listen, we're going to jump into this next topic, and I'll be honest with you. This one is near and dear to my heart. Save our kids. There's not enough we can say about this. I really feel like that one of those things for which a nation can be judged, is how it takes care of its kids. You know, you look at Scripture. I mean, I can't tell you how many times in the Bible I would look at something and I'd see, how did they get to the point that pagans can sacrifice their children on the altar of these false gods? And yet, where are we today? As false agendas like transgenderism has allowed children to basically be sacrificed on the altar of the agenda in order to authenticate the agenda itself. Gender-affirming care, by the way, is not affirming of anything. It's gender non-confirming. This whole idea of gender-affirming care is like saying, we know you're broken, so we don't want you to be what you were born to be. We want to fix you the way we think you should be, and we're going to mold you in an image that God never intended. It's going to be fine. And it never is. We're looking at things right now where kids are being raised to believe that the use of pronouns does not have to match what the English language says. That they're being raised up to believe that boys participating in girls' sports or using the girls' room at the sports complex or the schools is just okay, and it's not. And you got to look at what is happening in and around this with not just changing their lives, but even the ones who don't want to accept it are having their lives negatively impacted. And then there's school choice. I mean, when it comes to education, what we are doing with our kids right now is absolutely a travesty. We have allowed a education policy institution called the Department of Education to oppose anything that would make sense in terms of growing the ability of America to have educated kids. Well, look, we're going to take a break right now. When I get right back, we're going to jump on into this, and I'll start diving through these. You're welcome to chime in. Y'all's feedback is just as important on this show as mine is. But I'm just telling you, save our kids. That ought to be one of the things that we are known for as a nation, is that we are put our kids in greater priority than what they have been. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative, just plain right, just making common sense like a superpower as we give you all the truth you can slap on a bumper sticker. So I'm in number two of the Triple Dipper, Save Our Kids. I said before the break, and I mean it, y'all, that how a nation cares for its children is, in my opinion, something that is landmark in its scope. It is something for which a nation can be judged. We could talk about abortion all day. I mean, I really do believe that's a part of what I'm talking about, but I know that I could spend the entire time talking about that, so I'll leave that on the table. Suffice to say that I believe that is a part of the discussion. So those of y'all that are, you know, out there saying, Phil, talk about the abortion piece. That is so big I could almost talk about it all by itself. But I will say, caveat, that one of the first things I believe that a nation could be judged for is the fact that it's willing to, you know, kill its children. Abortion. So there's that. But then once a child is born, what are we doing to steward the great responsibility we've been given to raise kids? And I'll just be honest with you. Sometimes I look around at who's allowed to be a parent, and I think, well, how did that even happen? Sometimes I also look at the way society handles things, though. And while I can't control what happens in someone's individual home, I can have a voice in culture, and that's where I'm called to be right now, is to try and impact culture with the spoken word. And I'm telling you, what we are doing with kids is something that we will have to answer to. There are a couple of things that I believe are going to be subjects of mass tort litigation in the future. I give it within the next 10 years, you're going to see two things that are going to become subjects of mass tort litigation, like class action lawsuits is what I'm talking about, mass tort litigation. One is going to be the impact of mandating COVID shots on people and the long-term effects they are now experiencing because government made them take a shot they did not want to take, and they have health ramifications from it. That's going to be a subject of mass tort litigation. It's going to be up there with Agent Orange and all the rest of it. But the other one that I believe that we're going to see in mass tort litigation are the numbers of kids who have been sterilized for life, who have been surgically altered, who have been psychologically damaged by the transgender industry, the healthcare side of it, the psychology side of it, and even what happens in just the media and in, you know, cultural organizations that speak into the moment on a daily basis. We're looking right now, like, look at this. I've got an article here from townhall.com. Let me grab this piece. Townhall.com. Dateline yesterday. It says, here's how transgender minors are responding to Trump's election victory. Really? Transgender minors? There's a whole article on this? Apparently. Townhall.com, great source. I use it quite often. It says, transgender minors in the United States have been flooding crisis hotlines ever since President-elect Donald Trump won the election. Well, so here's the thing. If you raise them on a steady diet of fear and uncertainty, then what are they going to react with? Fear and uncertainty. They don't, when you've told someone you're wrong and the only way you can be right is if you listen to us, and if you listen to him, you'll never be allowed to be right. You'll remain wrong. They are already so confused, and they are preying upon the mental challenges that transgenderism, gender dysphoria, already exhibits. But it says here that we've had crisis hotlines with a steady stream of kids calling in. It says Trump's intention to roll back the Title IX reforms that Biden has tried to foist on schools out there in the world to allow transgenders to play in sports with girls and all that, to encompass the concepts of gender identity being considered a gender-positive thing. Well, I didn't know this. There was an ad that was run. The Trump campaign ran an ad that said, Kamala is for they, them. President Trump is for you. Does that sound threatening to you?
Not really.
It's because it's not.
Well, but and that ad specifically was talking about how they Kamala was for funding prisoners to have sex changes. It was not like a Donald Trump is going to go out and throw people in jail because they're transgender, or, you know, oh my gosh, they're going to, you know, put kids in jail or give transgenders the death penalty because, you know, Donald Trump just hates transgenders that much. That's not what that ad was. It was simply the fact that, you know, maybe they shouldn't be using taxpayer money to give people in jail transgender surgeries. But yeah, it's twisted completely. Well,
ABC News took that ad and converted it into this. Ready? ABC News, quote, for one Alabama teen, the ad seemed to paint transgender and non-binary people as a threat to society. The weekend before Election Day, the 16-year-old teen from Alabama, apparently, who identifies as non-binary and uses the pronouns he and they, called a crisis hotline at the Rainbow Youth Project, a group that serves LGBTQ plus young people, has received more than 5,500 calls to its crisis hotline. It usually gets 3,700 a month. Now it got 5,500. So I guess it's all like about a 40% increase. One Alabama teen has called in to the... So I feel bad that the teen felt necessary to call into a hotline. But the bottom line is I put the onus of this back on the purveyors of all this agenda. If you raise a kid on a steady diet of fear and uncertainty, the way they react to the world is through fear and uncertainty. It's the lens through which they see things.
Yeah, and it relates to the abortion issue, too, of when Kamala was going to get into office, abortion was going to be legal nationwide, which wasn't true. Nothing was going to change with abortion when she got in office. And now that Trump's going to be in office, you know, everybody who's ever had an abortion is going to be thrown in jail. It seems like it's just complete nonsense, and it's running off of fear and just not off reality.
But now we know they're not, because they're all shaving their heads and wearing blue bands and call themselves 4Bs.
Yeah, we don't have to worry about that issue anymore.
I got news. Some of them couldn't find a date anyway. Nope. To say. Here's the bottom line. How we take care of our kids, part of it is stop allowing them to be just basically psychologically abused with fear and uncertainty. You're not right. You got to get fixed. If Trump gets elected, you won't be allowed to get fixed, and then you'll never be right. Fear, uncertainty. That's number one. That's what we've been doing to our kids or allowing to happen. And I'm telling you, we got to stop it. Save our kids. More of this when we get back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. We will be right back. Alabama's syndicated news talk leader, Right Side Radio. Phil Williams here live in the Right Side Studios. Man, we got the local, the state, the national covering down on all the issues. And oh yeah, like the dude just said, solid conservative and just plain right. Well, welcome to it. It is hour number three here on Meatloaf Monday. Hey, I want to remind you guys of several things going on around here. First of all, Right Side Media, the parent company of Right Side Radio, we are growing. We're adding some additional podcast opportunities. We'll be announcing that for you sometime in the very near future. But just know this, the latest edition of Right Click came out on Friday afternoon. And Right Click is the podcast that Birdman does. It's a video podcast. I've got the latest edition of Right Philosophy coming out on Wednesday. Keep your eyes open for that. We'll be announcing more in the near future. The podcast of the show that we do live every day, we put the audio up into podcast form. I mean, it is like, I don't know what the numbers are, but I bet we're way over 260,000 downloads right now. All this stuff is available for you. If you're not sure where to go, just go to our website, rightsidemedia.org, rightsidemedia.org. And by the way, we are right now streaming live on, if you're ever at a place where you're like, what kind of shirt's Phil wearing today? You just want to know. We actually video stream live the show every day. You can see us here in studio. And where are we streaming right now?
We are on YouTube, we are on Rumble, and then we are also streaming on both the Right Side Media Twitter account and Phil's personal Twitter account, which is at Sin Phil Williams, at Sin Phil Williams, and the Right Side Media account is rightside_media. And also you go to rightsidemedia.org. The stream will be up on the live stream page there as well.
All the above, man. We are everywhere right now.
And we are now 13 followers away from 500 on Twitter.
Come on, people, help us out. We need to get 500. I mean, I'd love to get there today.
Yeah,
I'd love to get five on our. So we just really started trying to make more of a focus on our social media. Just in recent weeks, it's really ramped up. And between Butters and JP, they've been doing a great job of providing great content, lots of short videos, things that are out there, we're getting a lot of trend on YouTube right now. But if you go to YouTube, we'd appreciate you clicking subscribe. That actually helps us as a company. If you click subscribe to Right Side Media on YouTube. And at the same time, if you wouldn't mind, if you're on X, if you're on Twitter, go to rightside_media. And hit follow on that. We're 13 away from a magic number of 500. Apparently, Twitter has these gates you pass through. When you hit 500, you can start doing more stuff. When you hit 1,000, even more stuff. So we want to do more stuff.
Yep.
So take us to the next level, people. 13 more is all we need? Good gosh. All right. I am in number two of the Triple Dipper, Save Our Kids. It's not just, by the way, minor children. I mean, I'm sorry, younger children, like tender age kids. I mean, that's a big deal. But even we're looking at, like, they go off to college, a lot of them are still minors in the eyes of the law. And truthfully, they live like minors regardless. Adulting often doesn't even start until, you know, they're out of college. But the Daily Signal has a piece that I love. I don't know who Macy Gunnell is, but I would love to get her on the show and talk to her. But you may be familiar, up in Notre Dame, they have St. Mary's College, which is a girls' college adjacent to Notre Dame. It's right there in the same community. It's a Catholic all-women's college. And Macy Gunnell was a student there. And she said she woke up one... I'll take it back. She was an employee there. She had a campus job in the admissions office at St. Mary's College. And one day she was shocked when she found out that very quietly a policy had been in place that was going to allow applicants who consistently live and identify as women to become students at the all-women's college. There's no reason to say that unless you absolutely are intent upon letting guys live in the girls' dorm, which is what was going to happen. She said in her own words here in this Daily Signal piece, she said, the impact of such a policy at an all-women school would have been egregious. The administrators and the self-proclaimed feminists at my Catholic college wanted to force us to sleep in the same rooms as men, share bathrooms with men, change clothes in front of men. And yet the college's president, Katie Conboy, was celebrating it. So basically leadership is like, all in, man, this is cool. We don't care what happens to the young ladies that we're in charge of. We don't care if they're still minors. We don't care if they paid tuition expecting to go to an all-women's college. This is what she says, and I love this. This young lady says, no fight is more noble than the fight for the truth. I think that needs to be like a bumper sticker. No fight is more noble than the fight for the truth. She says, I knew something had to be done. I knew I had to do it. I could not sit back and watch something so insulting destroy the very fabric of what made my women's Catholic college so special. I knew it would not be an easy battle, but that did not stop me. So here's what she did. I'll paraphrase, but she went ahead and she gathered up like 100 other students. She got a network of more than 1,000 alumni and friends and family. By the way, it was all bipartisan. There were some left-wing politicians who joined her because they recognized what it was doing to an all-Catholic girls' school. And they went at it. And they realized that they couldn't make it about blue and red politics. They had to make it about green. So they went at the donors, which everybody knew who they were. They went at the donors who supported the university. They believe that the boycott that they helped organize created a strong financial protest that resulted in the college losing hundreds of thousands of dollars in donor funds, to the point that it finally left the college no choice but to ultimately withdraw the policy. That's what I'm talking about. But you know what? What were they thinking? How did this Katie Conboy become the president of an all-women's Catholic university and then celebrate the idea of putting men in the women's dorms with minor females? Can you imagine? You send your daughter off and you've made a choice to go to the all-women's school. How cool that we still have that option. And yet she gets there and gets a dude for a roommate. Can you imagine? I'd like to know what happened to the college president. I'd like to know if Katie Conboy is still the president of this all-female college. But that story is Dateline yesterday. So that's a very recent, fresh story. All right, one other thing that I want to talk about. Save our kids. It's not just the transgender ideology on young children. It's not just thrusting, you know, dudes into girls' dorms in college. Then there's things like, you know what? It's actually okay to protect our kids from smut. Just saying. It's actually okay to protect our kids from smut and things they should never have to see online. I'll never forget my daughter when she was in middle school. I think I've said it on the air before. She had to do a book report on government, and she chose to do one on the White House. So she went online to find out information, not knowing that whitehouse.gov is the official information site for the White House. She went to something called whitehouse.com, which turns out is a hardcore porn site, and they knew exactly what they were doing when they named it that. And my daughter was so upset. Well, she shouldn't have to have been exposed to that, but that's the kind of thing they do. They worm their way in. They know exactly what they're doing. But then there's easy fixes. Like, for instance, in Alabama this past year, you may recall we had an awesome lady on, named Malia Stevens, and she's a counselor for kids who have been addicted to porn as children. We had a bill in the Alabama legislature. All that bill did was say, when you buy a new phone, every new phone, by the way, already has this. You're not asking for anything new. When you go down to the Apple store or the Verizon store or wherever you buy your phones, every new phone already has a porn filter built into it. All you have to do is turn it on. I didn't know it was there. It's like buried in all the filters. But when you buy a new phone, all this new law said was, it will be turned on when you buy the phone. In other words, hey, Verizon store, hey, Apple store, your techs, your people that do things, when they're showing you how to charge up your phone and transfer your contacts to it and save things to the cloud, they also go flickety, flickety, flick, and tap that button and activate the porn filter. It's already in there. Why would they not? Because what it does then is it prevents children from seeing things they shouldn't see. Our legislature couldn't get it done. Shame on them. It should have gotten done. 2 years in a row now, we have fought to see that thing through. And I believe it's going to come up again this year. That's one of those you look at it and you go, why would you not? Well, you know why they've not? because big tech fights it. Big tech doesn't want the filter. I'm sorry, big tech, the filter's already there. Oh, that's right, we just don't want it turned on. Why don't you want it turned on? I don't know, because maybe it would defeat some of the other apps from making money on our phones. Oh, that's what it is. So you don't care about the kids, it's about the dollar signs. Well, the Senate, the U.S. Senate, also passed a thing called the Kids Online Safety Act. Big tech has opposed it left and right. What does it do? All it does is put a duty of care on big tech to not allow these things to just fall into kids' news feeds. But Meta, the parent company of Facebook, and Alphabet that owns Google and YouTube, have been fighting against it. And I'm telling you, there's going to come a day where we're going to face the music for this. And I'm telling you, I also believe that we're going to see mass tort litigation on things that are happening to kids even now. In 10 years, we're going to see mass tort litigation. I got a little more on this when we get back from the break. I'll move it into education. As we save our kids, part of that's the education environment.
Before we go to break, yeah. I just got to say, we are now 504 followers on Twitter.
Did we just hit it?
So I think the ruffians deserve a round of applause for that.
You ruffians are awesome. You right side ruffians are the bomb. Listen, that is just too good, man. Appreciate it. And by the way, JP, congratulations to you because you're taking it next level with us, and we appreciate that. Take me to a break, brother, while I just stand here and relish the fact that we hit 500 like that. All right, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Save our kids. Y'all stay tuned. We will be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right. Just, I mean, like, man, saving the world one soundbite at a time. I'm going to finish up this dipper here before the break on Save Our Kids. Let me tell you, so far I have covered big tech just deciding that the dollar signs are more important than the kids seeing porn. I've covered women finding out that when they minor, you know, women like, you know, 18-year-olds, which are still minor in the eyes of the law, going to college, all women's college, finding out that guys are going to be allowed to stay in their dorms. Talking about how kids are being preyed upon with this gender dysphoria, transgenderism agenda, where they're being told that through a steady diet of fear and uncertainty that their lives are going to be awful if Trump gets elected. And so they start calling in crisis hotlines because they're scared now because they saw an ad on TV, and which sounds ridiculous, but it's also pitiful. And they've been schooled to be pitiful in that way. But let's talk about education for a minute. Like, for instance, I got a piece right here. How about some of the aggressive, liberal, progressive agendas, aggressive progressives, that are finding their way into education environments? We see it all the time, unfortunately. Now, we've been able to get rid of a lot of it in Alabama, but not so much everywhere else. Pennsylvania. Pennsylvania's had an issue. The Pennsylvania Department of Education, story here on National Review that came out last Friday. Pennsylvania Department of Education has now been forced to reverse one of their progressive policies. They had a thing, they called it the Culturally Relevant and Sustaining Education Program Framework Guidelines. I just saw you wince over there. That's too much for a bumper sticker.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like that's the face I just made is the face I make a lot with this topic, you know, when I hear stuff like that.
Yeah, put this on your business card. What's your name? Well, my name is, John Smith, and I work for the Culturally Relevant and Sustaining Education Program Framework Guidelines Department at the Department of Education. That's every Scrabble word known to man going in right there.
Yep.
Anyway, it sought to mandate that educators affirm and impose upon their students highly ideological beliefs about contentious social and political issues, according to a conservative Catholic law firm called the Thomas More Society. Said it required educators throughout Pennsylvania to make acknowledgments of the biases that exist in education, microaggressions, other unconscious biases. And bottom line is they sued. Good for them. When you have critical race theory being thrust upon your kids, when you have affirmation of, you know, gender dysphoria, when you have the imposition of highly ideological and contentious beliefs that will fall way outside the scope of reading, writing, and arithmetic, guess what? It's no longer about education. It's about the agenda. And that's where they were.
Well,
they
sued. It's about indoctrination.
Thank you very much. Education, indoctrination. Yep. I see it. Good word. But they sued. And just last month, the state of Pennsylvania rescinded the policy. So now I guess if you have the business card that says that you belong to the Culturally Relevant Sustaining Education Program Framework Guidelines Department, you no longer have a job, I guess. But you got to look at that and go, okay, if that kind of crap is happening, and it's happening on a regular basis, if that kind of crap is happening, then what can we do about it? Well, one of the things we can do is make sure that we get away from the monolithic departments of education, especially the U.S. Department of Education. So I'll end with this. Wall Street Journal, Dateline last Wednesday. President-elect Donald Trump has vowed to remake education in the U.S., pledging to exert more control over funding and classroom lessons to curb what he views as left-leaning tendencies. He's not going to exert more control over funding. He's going to let us have the funding at the state level. So first thing he wants to do, eliminate the Department of Education. Well, good. They've had a 40-year run of presiding over declining test scores and failing levels of education nationwide while sucking down $40 billion or more from the national budget. Associated Press poll last year found that nearly two-thirds of Americans said the federal government doesn't spend enough money on education. Well, I got news. Most of those would also say, just send it to us and we'll take care of it. But Trump's going to have to appoint a Secretary of Education. He has to, because the role has to be filled. But right now, some of his top choices are private school and school choice advocates. Woo! That's going to make the teachers' unions' heads explode. But Trump's also said he'll wage a war on woke on college campuses. Basically, if you have an anti-Semitism movement allowed on your campus, he will start withholding federal funding. He'll disband programs that focus on non-white student groups or reduce accommodations for transgender students. He'll also get back to Title IX being what it was intended to be. He'll also ban critical race theory. He'll also start working with the accreditation system, because if you want to remain accredited, you might want to recognize that federal accreditation usually means something. And then there's universal school choice, which he's going to be pushing for and asking Congress to jump on with. That's how we save our kids. We deal with those issues, the smut that they're being forced to see, the transgenderism they're being forced to endure, the idea of being indoctrinated with fear and uncertainty, and then getting the wokeness out of their school systems. I'm telling you, all that, and teach them about Jesus, and I guarantee you their lives will be different. All right, we're going to come back, and I got a question I need your input on. You're going to like this one. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We will be right back.